Cat and Moose podcast. I'm Cat.
And I'm Moose. This is a true life podcast where we explore the quirks of being human.
Listeners, prepare yourself for an unedited introductory piece that is sure to make you smile. Sensitive ears beware.
God.
Never be fucking sorry for who the fuck you are, cause you're a badass fucking rad ass motherfucking star. You have to love yourself because if you don't fucking try, you'll feel invisible and miserable until you die. Do not put up with motherfuckers that just shit on you. Your life's too short to not do what the fuck you wanna do. So if you are ready to start getting what you deserve, then love yourself and that will help you know your fucking worth.
Yeah!
Oh my God!
I is this guy looking for a management contract? Because I just changed my mind. I'm looking for new clients.
Sarah, where did you find that?
TikTok. I'm now on TikTok. TikTok?
I think it's TikTok, not TikTok. Oh.
The orange or the rainbow flavor, Sarah?
I love the orange flavor of TikTok.
Oh, me too.
I do too. My mom used to pop those white ones. And that was like painful when you were a child. Those peppermint Tic Tacs.
Oh, they're mean.
And my mom used to tell me that when my dad was waiting for me to be born, that he ate 4 boxes of orange Tic Tacs waiting for me to be born.
Oh, wow.
Were you worried just then that you said TikTok instead of Tic Tac?
I literally like had this complete like brain meld of going, you don't know what you're talking about right now, Kat.
Well, we went from TikToks to Tic Tacs, and so it was very confusing. So do you think that maybe you like orange Tic Tacs because of that?
I think that there is something like psychosomatically going on that probably, yes, that is why that orange Tic Tacs are my favorite. They don't do anything for your breath.
Oh, no.
But I do have a question. I feel like there are 2 kinds of people, maybe 3. There are 1, the kind of person that does not like orange Tic Tacs. 2, the kind of person that eats an orange Tic Tac 1 at a time. 3, the kind of person that eats an orange Tic Tac multiples at a time. Right?
Yeah. I think there's only 3. Number 3 is where I'm at on that.
I would agree. Maybe it's only 1 or 3.
Who doesn't like an orange Tic Tac? And that cannot be natural. That's got to be artificial flavoring, right?
For sure.
Oh, there's nothing natural about any of that. It's made in a nuclear lab, which I have a lot to talk about today as it pertains to nuclear labs. Anyway, all of that to say, Sarah, how did you find that guy?
I was scrolling my TikTok and he showed up. And I think there's a lot of folks trying to mimic him now.
Well, that song is fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, he's got dozens and dozens. It's the same beat and the same melody every time, Kat. So management wise, I'm not sure if it's a good idea, but the lyrics change.
Okay. So they're derivative works then.
Totally.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I can be here for that. It's like same song from a publishing. And well, not really.
Yeah.
I need to nerd out on that a little bit. Yeah, probably not on the podcast, but yeah, that's really fascinating. That's the kind of, the essence of the kind of clientele I want to represent.
Yeah, that's really cool. So his profile says this: feminist, humanist, atheist, poly, world traveler, cat dad. And his handle is @guywiththehairofficial.
The guy with the hair official.
Kind of like Becky with the good hair.
Yeah.
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 What, is that something?
Hey, Kat.
Hey, Moose.
Thanks for sharing that, Sarah.
You're welcome, guys.
I wanted to share some lightness before we got to the darkness today. French's releases a ketchup popsicle for the summer.
Oh, gross.
No.
So I'd like to give a nod to our pal Leslie in Canada. Ketchup lovers are in for a summer treat, they say. French's has released limited edition ketchup flavored ice pops, dubbed French Sickles. The summer popsicle will be available in Canada at certain pop-up locations until June 24th. Well, that's like past.
Well, that expired like 3 days ago. This is why advertisers are searching out the Cat and Moose podcast to advertise on, because we will move the needle, friends.
Mm-hmm. Hey, look, this is from like yesterday. So it's not my fault they have expired.
No, I didn't accuse you of anything.
I know. I'm a little edgy today, guys. I'm sorry. So I just wanted to let our ketchup lovers know that you can now get the French sickle.
There may still be some on the shelves.
Well, and I think that also, like, while they're trying to brand their brand name, it's like trying to brand Frito-Lay instead of Cheetos. You know,
yeah.
It's like, to me, like a French sickle. No, that's branding your company, which I don't give a shit about. Like, what I would give a shit about as a ketchup lover would be a ketchicle.
A ketchicle?
A ketchicle.
Oh, a ketchicle. I could get around that.
Yeah. Yep. I agree.
Hey, food, dinner.
Love it.
Something that the Cat and Moose podcast supports.
We are big fans of food
and dinner.
We are big fans of food. And I already threw this away. Hang on. I threw it away because I put it in my calendar, ma'am. Lady who called into our 1-800 number, who was really awesome. The Cat and Moose podcast got a save the date invitation for Nashville Greenways Dinner by the Bridge on Thursday, October the 6th. And Moose and producer Sarah, I don't know if you guys know this or not, but we are sponsoring a table for thousands of dollars at the Nashville Greenways Dinner by the Bridge. And we are going to invite our listeners to join us on Thursday, October the 6th for Dinner by the Bridge to support the Nashville Greenways.
Well, great. We did not spend thousands of dollars, but is that the...
Well, she might have actually. I think she actually did.
Oh, she's got a face that she may...
Well, yeah, because remember she talked about this was the donation that was given on behalf of Cat and Moose this year.
What was it from Cat or from Cat and Moose?
It was from one of the partners of the Cat and Moose podcast.
Oh, I see. Thank you, partner. I'm really grateful for your partnership, my friend.
Hey, man.
And so how many people is this, like an invitation for people in Vint? Why do I keep adding an N to that word?
What word?
Invitation.
Invitation.
Invent. Maybe you're supposed to invent something.
This is an invitation. Our 1-866-KATMOO5 number is back operational.
What in the world? Yes. We are a legitimate podcast again.
Oh, yes.
Great work.
And finally, guys, after weeks of really, I just really hate talking on the phone with customer service people. And somehow I tasked myself with fixing the 1-866 number, and all of them were baffled.
Oh, really? They didn't know.
It like what the problem was.
Did you get a lot of that hold music?
A lot of hold music and a lot of people going. The guy even said to me, he said, do you have another cell phone from which you could call your number and stay on the line with me?
What?
Oh.
And I thought to myself, like, does anyone have two? I mean, thankfully, there was another person in my office who had a cell phone who was happy for me to use it.
No, people have other cell phones, by the way, if we want to go down that weird rabbit hole.
Yeah, but why would he make her do the extra work when someone in his office could do that extra work?
Oh, that's a fair question.
Right. And he wanted to be able to record it from my end that I couldn't hear the Cat and Moose greeting on the 1-866-KATMOO5, which now I have memorized is 528-6665. I didn't have that memorized
it's
before.
It's 528, but I've the dialed devil's it. Number 5.
That's right. Yeah, it's fixed. So people call in. We are going to resume our request for you guys to call in and tell us about your God moments, your paranormal experiences. God moves in mysterious ways. And producer Sarah wants great adjectives used in your detailed description of what your experiences have been. We are going to release an entire episode about listener paranormal / God moment.
It doesn't have to be God. It can be
unexplained, just unexplained things.
Yeah. I mean, it could be a werewolf, you know?
Sure.
It could. What? What'd you say? Okay. We totally need to do an entire episode because I know our listeners have like unexplained things.
100%.
Yes, they definitely do. Like, come on, we've all got something like that.
We do. It could be synchronicities or ghost stories. It could be you sitting on your deck with some crystals and all of a sudden they started levitating.
Like money just showing up out of nowhere.
Or provisions of people leaving stuff on your doorstep that you needed that you never said out loud that you needed.
Exactly. Like tampons.
Oh.
An insurance check coming in the mail that you didn't expect.
Exactly.
Communicating with your animals.
Oh, yeah. I've been visited by my dog, Sam.
And I really think that my current dog, Belle, has got part of Molly Pig's spirit because she has like a hound dog and she's a golden retriever.
Okay, what about when you see like on a clock, you constantly see like 11:11 or 3:33?
Or I wake up almost every morning at 4:27.
Really? What yes. about like premonitions or like dreams of things that come to pass?
Like prophetic dreams.
Oh, yeah. Maybe you were abducted by an alien in a UFO. I need to know about that.
Yes,
absolutely. So here's what's going to stand out to me. You guys may have your own opinions and interests, but this is what me, producer Sarah, is looking for.
You're looking for something juicy.
I want to see every adjective and all of the colorful imagery that you can muster. So if writing is your style, then here's where to send that.
Email us hello@catandmoosepodcast.com.
And if speaking is more your vibe, then you better leave me the most descriptive version of your story that you can give. Don't leave out a detail. And you can leave those messages for us here.
1-866-KATMOO5.
We want your stories of the completely bizarre and unexplained.
Like the time that you woke up and grandma was standing over you. Send us your unexplained stories. Now. Okay. Well, speaking of greenways. Sarah and I went on a bike ride this past weekend and, there were some greenways involved. That's mainly what I want to say. But on the way back, we were trying to find a secret way, without going on the highway back to my house. And we found a townhouse on its garage said, is in spray paint, toxic, danger, beware, mold in attic, check your attics. And then on the sidewalk of the driveway, it was like, stop danger and like all these things. What in the world?
They spray painted their own garage and pavement because I guess they had, you know, had to get out of that place. That sucks.
But wait, what do you guys think happened there? Do you think they had mold and then they were pissed at like the builder or something?
Yeah.
Oh, I do. Yeah, absolutely. They wanted to make that whole, they had like a mold situation. The mold situation was not remedied by the builders of the house and they ended up having to file an insurance claim, which cost them thousands of dollars in deductible and they're pissed about it. So they're like, you know what? While we got to redo everything, we'll repaint our garage.
And driveway.
And driveway.
Well, my goodness. So I dinged my little bell, ding, ding, and waved. Because I was uncomfortable, as always, and don't know what to do, except be super nice.
So, Moose, like, if you can step down into the river beneath the river.
Oh, take me there, please.
And if you could go from the moose who is nice in a situation where you do not know what to do, what is your reaction to reading what was spray painted on that garage and on that driveway?
Well, my reaction is, oh my God, like what happened here that you have such a visceral reaction to like legitimately pick up a spray can and get after it and let your neighbors know. Mm-hmm. Now I understand justice. We're going to talk a lot about that this episode. But I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to see all perspectives here. Maybe they thought they were doing a public service by doing that. It felt very, I don't know. I'm fine with it, really, if that's the way they needed to deal with it. I just do weird things when I'm uncomfortable.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a relatively human experience, Moose.
I think so, too.
So as a human being, did you in your youth ever see the original Top Gun?
I think I did. I don't remember much about it except Tom Cruise and Kelly, somebody was in it. But I really want to see this new one because everybody's saying how good it is.
Yeah, it's really good. And what I'll say about it is I went on a sister date with my sister. We go on sister dates, not as often as we used to, but we're getting back in the rhythm. And anyway, this past week we went and saw the new Top Gun, and I must say it is fantastic.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah.
What was your favorite part about it? Like, why? Because I've even heard people who wouldn't normally like a show like that say it's really good. Like, what makes it good?
Yeah, I think what makes it good is like any sort of like action thriller that has to do with like cool looking military jets, unless you have some trauma around that, is like kind of neat. Mm. So that is probably the part of it that I think is like broadly the most neat and interesting for me. It was their little tips of the hat to the former movie, like to gotcha. The original. Mm-hmm. And they did it in such a way that I thought was really classy. And I did have a moment the other night after you guys left my house where I sat out on my back pool deck and I spoke to the stars for about 3 hours, which I realized the next morning when I went back to listen, because I recorded myself talking. It was only 14 minutes.
That's so good.
So as I was speaking to the stars, I was able to articulate for them that they missed a really, really brilliant opportunity to feature one part of the original Top Gun that was one of my favorite parts. And as I went back and listened to my dramatic monologue from the night before, I realized that I may be one of only maybe three people who even noticed this part of the first movie. But
well, what is the part?
Well, I mean, it, if you haven't seen it, you probably, I mean, if you don't remember it, you probably don't care. But right at kind of at the beginning of the movie, like Tom Cruise like ignores the instructions and orders of his superiors, and he doesn't land on the aircraft carrier, and he goes and he flies in his pal who has gone through some sort of like panic attack in the air, and the pal like lands on the aircraft carrier barely, and as he's coming into the aircraft carrier and he's like like going like this, like really like he's almost gonna crash, they go 3/4 of a mile, call it a ball. And I, in that moment, as a child, when I saw the movie, I thought I had no idea that when an airplane was 3/4 of a mile from the aircraft carrier, that is when it got the okay to land.
Oh, wow.
And they just had a really fabulous opportunity to do that in the new movie and didn't.
So he said 3/4 of a mile, call it a ball?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I think it means 3/4 of a mile, you're safe to land.
Oh, call it a ball.
I mean, it's a very dude term, obviously.
The ball is the nickname for the optical landing system on an aircraft carrier. What it's come to mean outside naval aviation circles, however, is when in charge, take charge. Make a decision. Be a leader. It's also a lot of fun to say during a decision brief.
Huh. Yeah.
I love that we just go there with one another. Like, oh, yeah, probably. Yeah. I think that's really cool. That was my question, is like, and then we can move on from Top Gun. But is it the same story, or is it like what are the 007 movies where there's a different,
like a sequel?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, it's a different story. It's a different story.
Okay.
It's got a lot of the same characters as the original Top Gun, or it nods to characters from the original Top Gun. It is a completely different story. And if you have not seen the original Top Gun and you go just to watch Maverick, it is in and of itself understandable and very entertaining.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
So Sarah, you don't have to see the old one. We don't have to watch the old one again. Let's go see it.
Cool.
You want to go with us again, Kat?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Fun.
Cool. Okay.
Any chance to eat a bucket of buttery popcorn?
Buttery.
So you guys, we had a chance recently to do something social together and we bailed.
Oh, for sure. We still did something. Well, I guess it wasn't super social, but we did do something together.
Yes.
I came into your house and said, we have to talk about this mm-hmm. because we keep doing it. And so what do you want to say about it, Kat? Because we need to explain it first. And then we need to ask our listeners who might be introverts too. Do you understand? Is this a normal thing?
Well, I think like in my experience of our podcast, I'm kind of the person who sometimes seemingly unnecessarily like shows like the lay of the land. Like I explain things and then like you talk about like the actual real life experience of it. And so I can explain what happened is months ago, it was announced that one of our favorite artists who has been part of the soundtrack of the past season of my life, her name is Leon. She announced she's coming to Nashville to this place called the Brooklyn Bowl, which is like a restaurant bowling alley thing over in Germantown. And you reached out to us, Moose, and you said, hey, do you guys want to go? And of course we were like, yes. And so you bought tickets and we invited friends and like it was going to be like a whole thing. And we've had it on the calendar for months.
Yeah. And actually, in fact, I just pulled it up in our group text. It was March 10th.
Oh, March 10th. Wow.
So 4 months ago,
we got the pre-sale on Spotify and bought the tickets and put it in our calendar.
Yeah.
On March 10th.
So for 4 months, we've been planning to go and see this concert, have dinner ahead of time. Moose, you made us reservations for dinner ahead of time at one of our most favorite restaurants here in town. And by the time it got time to go, we all decided we didn't want to.
And this is a common thing. Like we buy tickets when we're in a good mood. And we believe that we are people that we are not. And this is what I want to discuss. We are the preachers of the gospel of being your own damn self. And yet we don't know our own damn selves. We think we are still 32, spry on our feet. I mean, in fact, we love a standing room only concert because we can get even closer to the stage, you know? That's what we think about ourselves. And then what happens is you look at your calendar on Monday and you see, oh, what's this on Friday night that I have in here? Oh, a concert? I bought a ticket? Who am I? And from Monday to Friday, you just slowly start dreading and you start putting yourself in the room with 22-year-olds who don't mind being there and are standing on their feet. And you think, huh? So then you start, about Wednesday, you start asking yourself, huh, maybe I could just play Leon's music over and over with friends, over some beverages, sitting on a couch and singing along, which nobody, no 22-year-olds judging us. Why wouldn't I do that and try give myself the money back?
Right. And then in my mind, one of the thoughts I was having come like Wednesday or Thursday of that week is that I have decided to go on an international trip next week, like a therapeutic retreat type thing. And my reason for not going to the concert was that I don't want to expose myself to more of an opportunity to get COVID,
which I knew was a lie. You wanted to, I mean, we ended up. Yeah. I mean, and so we had friends who also said, never mind. Yeah. So we basically had six tickets and I ended up giving them to another set of our friends, another set of friends. Our friends come in sets. and so we did end up having someone enjoy those tickets, but luckily they weren't like the Chelsea Handler tickets that I didn't use. They were a little bit cheaper.
Okay, like you bailed on Chelsea Handler?
I know. And I can't explain it except the start time was 9 p.m.
And that's the thing that led us to our discovery of our truest selves.
And our matinee when we do live shows.
Yes, we will do live shows and they will be matinees. And our VIP meet and greet will be after our matinee show during happy hour with only 10 people ever.
Ever.
It's amazing.
It's really amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry, Chelsea.
Yeah.
So I heard this quote. I don't even know who this person is, so don't hate me if it's someone you hate. But her name, I wanted to give her recognition. Heidi Rose Robbins. She said on Instagram this week that her father used to say this quote, "If you know who you are, then you'll know what to do. It's an act of spiritual virtuosity to become who you are." So then I had to look up spiritual virtuosity. I used to say I'm just really into vocabulary, but I really just take a little bit longer to understand things. But I knew that beginning part was real. If you know who you are, then you'll know what to do. That really rang mm-hmm. true in my soul. Yeah. Yeah. So like we always talk about that. If we're in touch with that essential self, then we know what a no looks like and what a yes looks like, or ideally we do. So spiritual virtuoso is someone who,
what are you? I'm a spiritual virtuoso.
Okay. Okay. Everybody just chill out. Here we go.
Come get a massage from me.
This is what I found on the internets on bloomsbury.com. Marianne Goldman and Stephen Pfaff. His name is spelled P-F-A-F-F. So I want to just make sure I really get the F's in there. Define a spiritual virtuoso as someone who works toward personal purification and a sense of holiness with the same perseverance and intensity that a virtuosi strive to excel in the arts or athletics.
I am a spiritual virtuoso.
I know you are, because you are always seeking purification. So all that to say, guys, if you know who you are, then you know what to do.
Yeah, you do. If you know who you are, then you know what to do. Our friend and listener Helga posted something this week that I thought was really profound that reminds me of that. And the thing that she posted said, maybe the journey isn't so much about becoming anything. Maybe it's about unbecoming everything that isn't really you, so you can be who you were meant to be in the first place.
I mean, come on, Helga.
Okay, we know that Helga is a listener. We know that Adam is a listener. Adam has generously donated massage appointments for each of us on the Cat and Moose podcast. And so thank you so much for that, Adam, for wanting to give back to those who give to you. That's very, very awesome that you listen.
Amen.
Amen. No, but seriously, your voicemail this week was awesome, Adam.
Because
you are awesome, Adam. So thank you so much for that. Another listener wrote in, and I think this is one of the most genius things I've heard. This listener wrote in and said, guys, you might consider something along the lines of, instead of the anonymous trauma bonding podcast, it should be called the Trauma Couch.
I love that because it has an actual meaning to us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Based on our traumatic boat ride with being dragged behind it. But also the couch suggests that we're therapists and we aren't, yes. but we yes. do love them.
Correct.
That's right.
Ding, ding, ding. Sarah, give me some dings yeah. here. Kat's like, I just said that without saying that. Thanks for saying that.
No, I love that you said that. And the reality is that we are so close to being therapists. I am within weeks of having a license as a massage therapist. So I can technically say,
yeah! We need to have a graduation party when we both graduate.
Yes, we do. And so Moose, you being a coach, me being a licensed massage therapist, I think we get to join the party, man. We get to say yeah. we're therapists.
That's absolutely right.
Oh, well, I won't be a therapist. I'll be a coach.
Well, I mean,
Why did I say it like that?
I don't know. I mean, my therapist told me that when I told her I was considering that I might need a life coach, she was like, wait, that's kind of like what I do.
Oh, guess what? The money can be spread out, boo. You need both. So, you know, that's an interesting thing, because there are some therapists that have been in my program who are training to be a life coach. And you would think like, wait, don't you already have all of those tools? And they do, I think. I mean, I definitely think they have those tools. But it's interesting because it's less regulated and they're able to take clients from all over the country or world, for that matter.
Yeah.
And I think less regulated can actually be good. You hear that term and you think, oh, well, that means anyone can be a life coach. Yeah, well, that's why you got to do your homework and make sure somebody's really trained.
Right.
But also the ability, it's kind of silly that you can't work out of your own state, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I agree with that 100%. And I think that part of the modality that I've been studying really has a lot of body focusing, and you know, it's called body mind acupressure, and it's like,
yeah,
like we are not just interfacing with the client from a theoretical standpoint of the body. Like, yes, that is the basis, like that is the core, and like this modality has been developed to be a thing that, you know, it's like these different energy flows also have to do with different emotions that happen, mm-hmm, within a person. And if you connect the dots between everything, then those emotions may arise and you may end up having conversations, and they're, of course, they're client focused, like in any truly therapeutic situation, you know? And right. So I think there's a beauty in the unregulation if there is an ethical awareness in the unregulation.
Right. Exactly. And I think that's why it is still important to have certification and things like that, yeah, even if it's not super unregulated. So I don't think that we want to record this episode without discussing the Supreme Court overturn of Roe versus Wade.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been... you know, part of my piss and vinegar so far this episode has simply been, I'm still having a hard time understanding that is happening, because this has been a 50-year-old law where a woman has a right to choose what she does with her own body. And I've had a lot of time to like talk to friends and talk to you guys even about this. And, you know, a lot of people are saying, and then what's next? Is gay marriage on the table? And, you know, Clarence Thomas went as far as to say even contraceptives should be on the table, which I just cannot even understand us having this conversation. But I'm baffled, number one. I'm outraged because my mother's generation, like truly, my mother had friends and acquaintances that at a very young age got pregnant and did not have the opportunity. Roe versus Wade wasn't a thing, mm-hmm, and had to have back alley abortions. Mm-hmm. And my mom wouldn't talk about it. Like, she told me it happened, but she wouldn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. And that's because it must have been so incredibly traumatic. And I just want to state something here. So many times even if somebody is pro-life, their statement is like, well, she should want to have that baby. And it's like, okay, well, that isn't always the case for many different reasons, including socioeconomic issues. But also many times the man is the one really wanting to have the abortion. And so I want to make sure, as we talk about this, this is not just a woman's issue that we're talking about here.
I had a client this week. We went to lunch this week and he and I ended up buying twin suitcases together. It was really lovely. it really was like super lovely. And one of the things that he asked me at lunch is, he said, hey, can I ask you a personal question? And I said, well, sure, you can. Like, I get to choose if I answered or not, right? You know?
Yeah.
And he said, as a woman, he said, how are you doing you know, with this. And I thought it was really sensitive that he asked me that question. And, you know, I told him how I was doing with it. And then, I said, how are you and your wife doing with it? Like, what are you guys, you know, what is your response to it? And he said, well, we both feel like our response to it is that we need to become like legally certified to be foster parents. Mm. And I said, okay, like say a little bit more about that. And he was like, well, he's like, this issue is not about life or death at this point. It's about saying like the government has got the ability to say what you can and cannot do as it pertains to having an abortion. And then the government is not willing to provide support for those people who choose to keep their children and don't have the resources, don't have the finance, don't have the ability, whether it's socioeconomic, whether it's psychological, whether it's, you know, just, you know, I physically can't raise a child in my environment. And he's like, right. So I feel like the only response that we can have to it is to be willing to foster children. And I thought his response was really beautiful.
Hmm. Yeah. I think that I agree. Like, I do think that's beautiful because, you know, I, to me, it is so much bigger than just do, you know, and it's not about the issue. What it's about is I don't understand how a government can make a decision about my body. Mm-hmm. That is where I'm at, mm-hmm. is I don't understand it. And then where does that end? Where does that end?
Right. Mm.
But like, this is such a serious issue that I am legitimately considering, do I want to stay in the state that I live in? Hmm. Because is staying, you know, saying I'm okay with this.
Yeah. Like, are you complicit? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly, Kat.
Yeah. I think that, you know, one of the things that I personally needed this education. So if I'm going to get tomatoes thrown at me because I am not educated about social issues, go ahead and throw them. I will make spaghetti sauce out of it and it'll be lovely. Mm-hmm. I had to be educated and understand that this decision, what it did is it basically said, this is no longer a federal
correct
decision that can or cannot be made. This now moves that decision back to each individual state, and the voters of that state can vote into office people who will or will not allow abortion to be legal. Like, is that how you understand the overturning of the ruling?
Yeah. And I don't know that it's as simple as you. I mean, yes, it's going to be on the ballot. Absolutely. But I mean, as of today, there's however right. many states right. that, yeah, already you cannot get abortion. Then, you know, there's the trigger states that will be soon as well.
Right.
So yeah. Yeah. I mean, that is the way we can change things, is to vote. But my concern, I guess, is, you know, living in a Republican state, and I'm not afraid of Republicans. I like Republicans. Hear me say that, but like, if you cannot flip that, how do you, I don't know how do we not get to a place? I mean, we're already there, mm-hmm. where we're completely split, and we know these states are ones that are liberal states and these states are conservative states. Like, why can we not? I don't know. Maybe me moving is not the right answer.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, to prove the point of what we're talking about is you have the right to choose.
Yeah. Which isn't that funny. I don't about my body anymore though.
Right. You have the right to choose which state you live in, and you don't have the right to choose what you do with your body, and whether or not it is of moral consequence is, to me, in my opinion, beside the point. That doesn't mean I don't care. That doesn't mean I don't have an opinion. That doesn't mean that I do not value the sanctity of life. What I do value, though, is when you talked about at the beginning of our podcast, talking about justice, it's like you're telling me that an unborn child has more of a right to its own body than I have of my own.
Correct.
And who are you to say that?
That's exactly right. And you know, that is really the issue here. And, you know, I don't mind who we offend in this area at all, because, you know, this is one step towards so many other things, in my opinion. And I'm sure we are rocking the boat in many ways. And I just don't care, because the minute that we do the same with a man when it comes to reproduction and all of that, then let's have that conversation if you're concerned, you know, about how this hits you. Like, it just is not as simple as let's save all of the babies.
Yeah, that's a big one, Moose. So what are you guys doing for the 4th of July?
Well,
I invited myself to your pool.
Oh, that's right. Sarah, you did. We were swimming and Kat asked the same question. And the answer was, I think I'm where I'm going to be.
That's right.
Yeah. So apparently there is a 4th of July party happening at Kat's house. And so for those of you who know where I live and want to be a part of that party, you might consider that Moose and producer Sarah.
I do not want anyone coming up in there.
That's not what...
seeing this body in a bathing suit. So no, if you, even if you know where she lives, if you show up, I don't know what I'll do, but it won't be pretty.
Yeah, we're not friends anymore. That's what it sounds like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, I'm going to be in a very desolate place in Mexico, just outside of Puerto Vallarta. I'm going to be in Jalapa, Mexico on the 4th of July. And I understood today for the first time that something extremely monumental is happening on the 5th of July.
Well, yeah, our listener, Chris Hauser's birthday.
Yes. And Chris, on your birthday, something called the Large Hadron Collider is going to be turned back on for the first time in 3 years.
What?
It sounds like something from Stranger Things.
Well, it is a little bit like something from Stranger Things. So are you guys aware of the organization called CERN, C-E-R-N?
No.
No.
Okay, so CERN, let me tell you exactly what it stands for, and see what you think about my French enunciation. In French, It is the Conseil Européen pour la Recherche Nucléaire.
Oh.
Which translates to the European Council for Nuclear Research. Okay, so...
Oh, well, goodness gracious.
Yeah, so in French, like this, you know, basically, you know, they made it an acronym. It's like, or not an acronym, but it's like, yeah, it isn't an acronym. Whatever it is, you know.
It's an acronym for sure.
An acronym.
Yes, thank God. Okay. So anyway, so this particular organization, okay, they are going to flip the switch on to a thing called the LHC. And what this thing does is it basically tries to create something that's called the Higgs boson. Are you familiar with the Higgs boson?
I am not.
Okay, so this place started around the 1950s, and scientists from there discovered antimatter. Scientists from there invented the World Wide Web. Scientists from there invented the Z boson and the W boson, which I didn't even know what these things were until today.
I don't either.
And now what they are saying is they have discovered, as of, I think it's 2012 or 2016, the Higgs boson. And what that is like the predecessor to what they are calling the God particle.
What does that even mean?
It means that by jamming two high-speed beams of light together billions of times, they create matter from antimatter and recreate the same thing that happened at the Big Bang.
Well, that seems dangerous, number one. Secondly, I feel like I'm on the wrong podcast.
Yeah, I do too.
Like, Sarah and I just keep looking at each other like we're in a bad dream. Like, what? I feel like I'm in science class and I didn't prepare for the test.
I do too.
So my delivery must have really sucked.
No! it wasn't that at all. I just like,
are we gonna die?
Antimatter and the Big Bang, and I can you calm us down? Tell us that we're not gonna bang again.
I don't know that.
Wait,
I for sure.
Wait.
I'm sorry, but you are never going to bang again, Moose.
Guys, on August 5th, it's your last bang.
July 5th.
Oh, July.
August 5th, you may not be here anymore.
Yeah, you probably won't, because it's your last big bang. Okay, so is it a nuclear... Are we going to live through it?
Well, that is the thing that is up for debate, and it actually to some people is an ethical issue. So apparently, like, all these physicists have got the ability, they've created this thing that's basically like this long tube that they shoot light through, and they create billions and billions of collisions of particles and also collisions of anti-particles. So it's kind of like the best way to describe it is like kind of like if you have a rock and you drop the rock into your hand, that's kinetic energy.
Okay.
And if you go and pick up the rock from your hand, that's like almost like anti-kinetic energy. And if you drop the rock again in your hand and it lands in your hand, it creates heat.
What?
Which... that sounds like a science podcast. I've been way digging into this stuff too much.
Where do you, I mean, like, you aren't even on social media. Like, are you first of all, I feel like I'm in a bad dream. Second of all, I pictured you at the library back in the day. I don't know if they still have these where you could pick up the magazines that had the clear plastic covers on them and the binders, because they didn't want you to steal the $3 magazine.
Right.
And I feel like you picked up, you know, science and mechanics or something.
Yeah.
And
well, let me just boil it down and not regurgitate everything that I've learned today. Basically, they are going to flip on this machine that has not been turned on for 3 years. And it is souped up. It's powered up. It's more powerful than ever before. And basically what it is that they are attempting to create is the same reaction that happened in the Big Bang.
Oh, good.
And so what they are trying to create is like the manifestation of many black holes. And when I say many, M-I-N-I, like many black holes, like many places where you can actually pull apart dimensions and time. It's like the same people who invented the flex capacitor in Back to the Future. It's like they're kind of doing the same thing. And on July 5th, they're flipping this machine on that does this.
Where did you find this information?
On the World Wide Web that they invented.
Are you concerned that there's a big bang happening in a tube somewhere? Like, if it's really a big bang, isn't it going to go outside the tube? Like, I mean, nuclear warfare is what you're talking about.
Right. Right. And that's the thing is I'm like, guys, like, I don't know if this is okay.
What about when people say nuclear
instead of nuclear?
Yeah.
So anyway, this machine that lives right on the like, it lives like right by Geneva, like this thing, they've created this giant tube that, like, you know, it's basically going to attempt to recreate the Big Bang. And I just think that's scary as
do you have an article you can put up on the screen to prove this?
I have got a whole website about this place, man.
Are you also like your dad a CIA agent? Because I'm not sure what normal human knows about these things.
Well, this is really a big deal. CERN's mission, okay, their mission is our work helps uncover what the universe is made of and how it works. We do this by providing a unique range of particle accelerator facilities to researchers to advance the boundaries of human knowledge.
So what I see CERN's website here. What is what am I looking for? What's the name of the tube?
The name of the tube is called the Large Hadron Collider. So if you go to about, if you click about and then you go to key achievements.
So the Large Hadron Collider is the world's largest and highest energy particle collider. Oh man. Why are we got to be colliding things together, you guys? I still am not sure who invaded your body. Speaking of aliens, aliens and CIA agents, if you also want to go down a bad, scary rabbit hole, there is an organization called MUFON, MUFON.org, I believe is their website. Let me double check that. MUFON.org. Nope. MUFON, MUFON.com.
Oh, UFO sightings.
You can literally go look. People have UFON. Sorry, shit. Ma. You, God bless America. MUFON.com, Mutual UFO Network. And there's a symposium happening in July in Denver. I might go to. Who knows?
And that's if you're still here.
Yeah, I won't be, I don't think, because of that. But here's the deal. No joke. You can write on their front page, MUFON.com. You can report an abduction of non-human contact or report a UFO. And when you click, when you go in there, you can actually see what people have reported. And so it's fascinating, you guys. There's photos. There's people explaining when and where. Anyway, so we can add that to our unexplained episode. We can dig through the MUFON chronicles.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for this, Moose. I feel like you also are having an out-of-body experience.
Well, maybe. Maybe so. Sarah, how do you feel about aliens and the particle collider?
I'm very nervous that the world's going to end.
If it does, like, let's just live until it does, right?
Yeah.
Until July 5th.
Don't start these. That is not how we're going to get popular, guys. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. We become the
end of the world conspiracy podcast.
The conspiracy podcast after everything.
Oh, no, God, no.
We're the end of the world podcast where we explore the quirks of being human while we're still here.
Welcome to the end of the world podcast.
Welcome to the end of the world.
It's the end of the world as we know it. It's the
end. Special thanks to our producer, Sarah Reed. To find out more, go to catandmoosepodcast.com. Production.